beast died from impact. Your sophosphere brought it back. They're here to terrorize. Wolfmen with pale white eyes. They're here to hunt you down. You should run from the howling sounds. When the wolves are loose, then there's nothing you can do. Time to stand your ground. Welcome back, everyone, to the 62nd episode of Through the Aftermath. I am your host, Sean, and this week we have something a little different. Jonathan is not able to join me today, and it's funny because I asked him if how he's doing, and we talk to each other every once in a while, and he says that he actually had some surgery, some dental surgery, and he's really sorry, you know, that he can't be with us because he said that this was something that he was looking forward to. But he says that he'll be back in the next episode, of course. But this is what he says. He sent this to me in an email, and he wanted me to make sure that everyone knew this. He says that he tried to get the dentist to give him metal teeth, like Jaws on James Bond. And, they didn't go for it, so he's decided that dental surgeons aren't his friends right now. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's still possible. Maybe he could still get those metal teeth. I mean, you know, anything's possible. So that's where he's at right now, and that's where I'm at. But I am joined by a very special guest, Steve C. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Now, you are the guy behind Fallout Nuclanta, and
I'm the guy.
This is basically. Now, I'm going to just give a basic, overview of what it is. But and correct me if I'm wrong for the next 45 minutes. But this is a. It's basically a LARP. A Fallout-based LARP with Nerf guns and costumes and in character, right?
Yeah, that's all correct.
Okay, so that's the end of the show? No.
Yeah, that was good. It was really nice thing, Ali. Sorry, Jonathan couldn't make it.
And this is in the Atlanta area. And I met you for the first time, and I think we talked about this last episode. I forgot, but at Dragon Con. And Dragon Con's not only a big event in Atlanta for costuming, but this year the Fallout costumes were just insane. I mean, they had more Fallout costumes, I think, than ever before. And you were one of them, right?
Yeah. I like to costume a vault dweller that's a cop at the vault. So I do vault cop, and that's kind of the head photographer recognized me from the year before, and he was like, really hope a vault cop's going to be there.
Nice. So,
I think we have like the largest gathering of Fallout vault dwellers and everything at Dragon Con, I think, in the world, it seems like, because that was an amazing amount of people.
Yeah, I remember, I wasn't there. I was going to be there, and I didn't make a Fallout themed costume this year. The pictures were just insane. I mean, it looked like people were spilling off the stairs and all in the front and everything. Like, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, it's like the Hilton Steps, you know, is a big place where you take your group pictures. And they have these steps where people can go all the way up the steps. And, you know, it's a great picturesque little area. Well, if your topic is popular enough, you know, the people kind of spill over. That's the way it was last year with the Mad Max group, the Fury Road group. This year it was a fraction of that, and I think it's because all those people are now dressed up as Fallout characters, which is I thought it was great. I mean, I wish I would have, you know, done that. I was going to make the Fallout the Raider power armor, which is it got to be one of those things where I started working on it, and then I'm like looking at my car, I'm like, I want to do my car instead. So I would go work on my car. Yeah, it was, so you were a vault dweller cop, and a couple other of our friends, our mutual friends, were there also dressed up. So, I mean, you could definitely say that Fallout, not only the game itself, but the whole world is just growing in popularity. And part of that is this experience that Nuclanta can bring. I mean, you know, you can, it's not only just a LARP, right? I mean, you, you, you use Nerf weapons. Are there airsoft weapons too?
Yeah. Now, if I had it my way, we would still play airsoft. What we did was, when we originally started, I think for our first like 6 events, we did airsoft was the ballistics, and then if you wanted to do plasma, you'd use Nerf.
Oh, okay.
So it would work like that, and everything was effective, no matter what your play style. And the ammo was scarce and expensive. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we like to play it. But at this current site, which is amazing, Eastwind Village, Eastwind Castle, they just don't allow airsoft. So,
okay.
But it's turned into something fun because we've ended up doing, we're like the only all-ages LARP, you know, in the Atlanta area, mm-hmm. Maybe in the southeast. So, you know, we don't have to worry about all the safety issues as much with no eye protection. So we have kids from, you know, young 2-year-olds with their moms all the way to, you know, the kids that can run around shooting Nerf guns just in the mix with everybody. So
that's pretty, really cool.
It's pretty fun, you know.
Now, how did this get started? How many years ago and how did you get this started up?
Okay, like 5.5 years ago, I was big into paintball, and I was like, I want to make my own paintball game because paintball could be so much more. So I ended up making like a limited ammo paintball battle game where you barely had any ammo. It was a lot of different alternate weapons, like throwing weapons and swords and shields and handcuffs and traps and stuff. So we played that for 4 years, and then we ended it in a good note, and then I just wanted to like make a bigger, better game. So I loved Fallout, and I always wanted to make a Fallout battle game or LARP. So all the people that helped me work on my old game, War with Friends, we all kind of I was telling them all about it, and I made a, you know, Facebook planning page for it. So I had already made like a big rule book thing, and then everyone gave me some good analysis, and everyone put their ideas together, and it ended up being, you know, different than what I would have done on my own. And it was just one big great project. So so we worked on that for like 4 months, and then we had our first event. And I think it was like 24 people because we could only play on Fridays. But Nitro Paintball, the owner Mario, let us play there for free. So that was a major help. And we had like $200 in donations from some of the old players, so we were able to buy a lot of stuff we needed. And so that's how we got started, our origin. And It was instantly bigger than the entire time I had my other one. And I've learned from that, you know, don't really make just some of your independent ideas. If you can go with another major popular brand, you'll get people that just like Fallout. They might not know what it is, but they want to come. So, and Fallout just translates so well into battle games or LARP. Or just the fun community hangouts. It's such rich history and world with it.
What rule set does it use?
Okay, so there's a national game. It's the oldest recorded LARP in the world or America from like the 70s or 60s. It's called Dagger Here. And it's a it's played nationwide. So I think in the Facebook group is like 5,000 or 6,000 members. And anyway, so we use their rule set modified for Nuklana. But I'm a big Dagger player. I've played for years. And so it's very easy to not to have to explain the rules when we just transition the combat system to that. Just all the members of the community that we were already part of, all my friends, we all played, so we've moved over to that, and a lot of people have been very grateful that our rulebook. They're like, "This is a perfect transition from a fantasy-based, medieval fantasy-based game into a Fallout or post-apocalyptic game." So it all fits in really well. So we use that system, and it's very simple, basic. We have kids come that never played, and they're able to pick it up and contribute. It's very, you know, basically, you get hit in the torso, you're done. You got to go bleed out. And someone can come stim pack you and bring you back. And then if you get shot in the head, you know, with like a Nerf gun or whatever, it's a similar thing. You usually can't come back unless you're a super mutant because you're extra hardy. And so it's just a few hits. If you've got armor, ballistics and stuff will, like, you know, it won't go through. And so you can, but it's all the combat is pretty quick. Usually through healing items and stuff like stim packs, since you got to finish people off after you down them, you know, people can come back, but the combat is pretty quick. You're not like have 100 hit points. You have like one hit in your torso meat and you're done. So we like to keep it simple because the more rules, the worse any kind of game can be.
Yeah.
And I like to keep it super simple. I'd have it more simple than it is now, but it's just kind of grown into its own monster. So that's what the Eastlander event's for. We're gonna bring it back to the basics with no except safety. So
you have people who write backstories to each LARP?
Yeah. Now I'm not big into to writing. It's not a talent I have. I'm a great event host, and I'm great at making systems, and I'm a great leader of all that. So that's where I'm specialized in. And then I have a lot of good support folks that love writing, and so they will they'll write some stuff to do. And if they don't, I'll always come in and try to, you know, make the event work. And but they have like their whole writing group, and they let me sit in there and check it out. But so they write, and then we have a in-play role playing page for new Planet characters, and they will they'll post their backstories on there too, the different players we have. So it's fun, you know, even though in play, if you haven't met a guy and talked to him and known his stuff, you can still know his backstory just from reading it. So it's pretty neat. Cause you know, a lot of folks, they'll just want to go with what's already in the game. And it's fun when people create their own content, that's within the Fallout universe, but it's original. So, yeah, we always try to write, our own backstory and stuff. And it's pretty fun what all comes out of it. So
if someone wanted to join, they would have to have a character already set up and everything, or could they just go there and kind of grab a pre-made, or how does that work?
Yeah, you could just come, and you don't have to have any thought to your character. You could just say, hey, like, you could come, Sean, and you could be like, hey, I'm going to be Adam. And, you know, some people won't have a backstory to their character. It's okay. And then you'll just decide how you're going to be, or you might not know how you're going to be until you get in there. You might get mixed up into some shady dealings real quick because you need some caps. So you start out with humble beginnings. You're going to have 20 caps, and like every bullet costs one cap. Every ballistic bullet costs one cap. So you're not going to have enough to like fill your magazine. Your gun's going to cost you four caps, and you're going to need to buy a screwdriver and some bobby pins to get into the hidden safes to start making money. Or you might have to go work for the Legion and do some slaving. So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, what are you going to do? You might go work for the sheriff and become a deputy and make money that way. But there's all kinds of ways to make caps. And a lot of folks, they bring all this cool stuff that they painted and worked on in this armor, but they can't afford it till, cause you know, we want them to start out as a lowly wasteland peasant.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, some folks have been coming to every event, and, they haven't got really wealthy cause you spend so much trying to survive,
yeah.
You know, fighting off folks and, just trying to better your friends. So there's humble beginnings, and then, you know, hopefully you can grow to afford some of that nice stuff, or you can take a loan also from some of the more wealthy players. So,
oh, that's cool. So is it set in any one Fallout game, or is it kind of throughout the entire, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of it's, you know, we were playing, it was like a few years after New Vegas originally, but we kind of incorporate a lot of the Fallout 4 stuff. Like we're saving the synths plot to, you know, in the future, where, you know, we're going to do something big with that because that's so big in Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And, we're getting our Brotherhood presence built up, with some, different cosplay groups we met at the, and crafter groups we met at the photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And, so we're going to get some Brotherhood of Steel action going, and then, you know, we'll get the synths brought in and, nice. Have a lot of fun chaos
And a Deathclaw, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's fun is, like, people like our game. You know, we usually get over 100 players with the kids and stuff, usually like 120. So these 3-day weekend events we've been hosting, they're pretty popular. So it's kind of neat. We have like a budget and we can hire, you know, these great, cosplay friends I have that do commissions, and, we can give them a big chunk of our budget and get stuff made. And, so we hired, Dominic Galeon cosplay to make, a Deathclaw head. And then we hired, Larry from Vulture Productions, to make the, suit. And then I made the gloves, cause we, our combat style, we're like the heaviest hitting LARP in the Southeast. Maybe in the America, we do, you can pretty much hit as hard as you want. And the weapons are made, mainly by Gorg the Blacksmith, and they're made by like a high standard where you can hit really hard and it doesn't sting, but it'll leave like a deep, solid hit. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, people's fingers get broken all the time in the Daggerhear battle game, if you don't wear lacrosse gloves. So we made the Deathclaw have lacrosse gloves. So, and, at the beginning of the event, I was like, look, I know you're going to be pumped up, but don't hit the Deathclaw hard with two-handed weapons. And, everybody got too excited and scared, man. And, they beat everyone that was the Deathclaw got the crap beat out of it. And you're not able to see as much, and it's really funny. So
that's hilarious. So you mentioned about the Eastlander event, and that's something that I talked about on this show before after we did the Chapter One event, which was back in August. Yeah, months ago, and that was basically it wasn't a new clan thing, but it was basically where a couple of us got together and we basically did a camp out. We just kind of did an in character, we got our vehicles in a circle and then we had a campfire in the middle and we just kind of told stories and stuff. And it was kind of a way for a lot of us to get to know each other before Wasteland Weekend, which is where a lot of those folks went. Well, the Farlanders went to Wasteland Weekend where they drove their vehicle. I think it's a 78 Chevy C10 pickup. They drove it from Tennessee to California, which is amazing to me, and back. And so that was kind of a preliminary thing. But in December 2nd, we're going to be kind of mixing the two. The Eastlanders are considered the Farlanders. I'm kind of getting ahead of people. I'm getting ahead of myself here, and people are probably like, "What is he talking about?" But what we call ourselves is the Eastlanders, and this is the Eastern U.S. People who are interested in Wasteland Weekend. But probably most of us can't go because it's so far away. So we're trying to get some Eastlander events going, and that's where we're kind of mixing here with Nuklana. And in December, we're going to be doing this event in South Carolina. Where it's a Nuklana event, but it's also going to be more of a focus on the costumes and the role playing part of it, the in character part, and just hanging out, just doing our thing and not really. And now there's going to be battles going on still, right? And there's going to be, and you're going to really, is this going to be the first time? No, you debuted the Jugger stuff last weekend, right?
Yeah. Now, So Nuklana, so we're not just going to be strictly Fallout Nuklana. We're splitting into, we're just like Nuklana, and we host a Fallout LARP. We host Juggers playing the game. Mm-hmm. And then we also, we're going to host the Mad Max Wasteland Weekend style, mm-hmm. Immersion events with, in conjunction with the Eastland leaders like the Farlanders and the Aftermath fellow and all that. So, it's going to be fun. What we're shooting for is we want to have, some of the other events, they don't stay in character. And it's really just the natural evolution of hanging out. It's just a lot more fun if you're in character. And, but we want to do, a lot of different stuff. Nuklana, I have a file for everyone that comes. And when they come, when they check in, they spin their caps and we record everything. And when they leave, we record everything that they had. And, so it's fun for them that they get to come in, but it's a lot of paperwork.
Yeah.
And it just takes away from a lot of the fun that could be had if you just like come in. There's hardly any rules besides safety rules, and you know, you don't have to worry about items and stuff. And you know, you can bring whatever you want. If you want to make a cool prop, you can make it do whatever you want. And it's up to the person that is hanging out with you or you're using it on, you know. Say you make like some kind of super Stimpak prop that looks cool, you know, and your buddy got stabbed in the stomach by a cannibal, and you know, you guys want to decide what it does together. That's cool. You know, it's all up to you guys to have fun, and it doesn't ruin anyone's fun on the other side. It's just, if that's what kind of fun immersive experience you want to have, go for it. So, you know, it encourages a lot more just creativity that way. And you don't get bogged down by people, you know, worried about the rule system and stuff. It's just all kind of like up to everybody when they think, when they're raiding cannibals and the cannibal jumps on his back, and starts stabbing his neck with like a replica, foam knife or whatever, that, you know, if he thinks he's had enough, his character should probably go down, and maybe his buddies can, pick him up and, throw him in the Mercedes and drive him back to town to get doctored up by some of the, wasteland doctors. So
yeah,
that's more of, you know, what we're going to do for the night combat at the Eastlander event. And they'll just be optional. If you want to stay in town, it'll be a safe haven. But, you know, we'll probably go out and we're going to have some folks wandering around in the different camp areas outside of town. And if you want to mix it up with them, you can. And we're going to have some fun objectives. Like some of your friends got kidnapped by these cannibals and they're going to get AIDS. So we need to get a posse together and go get them back, because we're just trying to have this gathering, and, you know, they're not playing by our rules. So it should be a lot of fun wandering around at night at, you know, 11 a.m. or whatever. And not 11 a.m., but, you know, late and all that. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I like the way you say that, a natural evolution of just hanging out. You know, it makes sense, because it's when we were setting this up, originally, a lot of people were kind of concerned that they would have to make characters and have stats sheets and things like that. And I think that it's cool that we're getting both sides of this, like you said too. You know, that you're getting the people who still enjoy that, and you're getting the people who might not enjoy that, but they enjoy the immersion part of it. You know, the dressing up and the role playing and acting. And getting that together is, I think, very important, because you're never going to really, you know, have a conjunction of all these like-minded post-apocalyptic fans, and get, you know, an East Coast Wasteland weekend, which is kind of a goal, you know, for the Eastlanders, eventually. That's never going to happen in, you know, unless we all kind of work together like this. So I think it's a really great idea. It's a great, I mean, the venue's great. This is going to be at the same one that you usually do, the Eastwind Castle, right?
Yeah.
And that's in Trenton, South Carolina. And I'll give some information here at the end, and also in the show notes, with links to the page that shows the exact, you know, the time and date and all that stuff, and more details on what that is. But that's, I'll just say it right now, it's December 2nd through the 4th at Eastwind Castle in Trenton, South Carolina. So, and like I said, I'll put a link up to more details on that. But so this is traditionally a fantasy castle, but you guys have been using it. Now, have there been any problems with, you know, that kind of using the fantasy castle?
The castle is like out front in the grass parking lot, and that was like originally the venue owner's home. That he wanted to live in a castle. So that's not played in, but it is in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
And so then you go into the wood line, and then that's where the village is. So they've got, but it ends up being pretty good for the post-apocalyptic feel, because they've got a lot of equipment out, like four-wheelers that they use to, you know, pull wagons, and they've got generators, and they've got a lot of modern, like, rickety equipment out. So they might have different, like, stuff they've woodcrafted to be like dragon seals for their different guilds they have there. But a lot of it is super post-apocalyptic looking already. So just, I'm sure they don't like that when they have the fantasy theme, but it's a lot to clean up for them. So we like all that stuff that's laid out. And we'll probably get some dirty stuff that's cheap to put up on some of the buildings to cover up some stuff, like some white sheets that we wasteland out and leave outside in mildew and mud and blood, and you know, just tack those on some of the buildings and stuff. But it's a super nice facility. They have real showers that are warm. They have real bathrooms. They have phone charging stations that are covered. They have cabins you can rent for $30, and you know, you can stuff like, you know, 4 or 5 of your friends in there. They have power in those. They've just got all these cool buildings, and it's got a huge campground and a road you can ride around on, so we can, you know, ride our wasteland vehicles around.
Nice.
And we've it's some of the Fallout LARP ones we do. Some guys have ridden four wheelers with flares and stuff at night around really slow, and it's just cool that the different interwining trails, and there's like a kind of like in The Walking Dead, there's a fort there that looks like Hilltop. It's like 20 foot high, you know, cut down tree walls and stuff. And so everything's very cool there. And at Fallout New Planet, we've got a radio station called Ghoultown Radio. And these guys, they all like to play ghoul characters. And they bought their own radio equipment, so you can pick it up on the FM.
Wow.
So they're going to be broadcasting at the Eastlander event to make us even more legit. So,
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. They've got that up on the second story. It's usually where the merchant is. They're on top of us, and they've got radios they hand out to everybody. You know, if you can't pick it up normally, so
wow.
It's very cool. And we're probably going to have a vendor there. They cook food on demand whenever you need it. And they have like a fun Fallout themed or Wasteland themed menu, like Brahmin burgers and stuff. So,
oh, cool.
So we played like, everyone showed up. And I think we called game on at like 6 PM Friday at the last Fallout LARP. And so I think we played until like 3 AM and then people started going to bed. So you just stayed in character and you just like ran around and did whatever, you know, we had stuff playing and we had different stuff going on. But the players always get into trouble together, in conflict. So we were going all night, and the vendor stayed open to cook all night.
Wow.
And I ate several hamburgers in the middle of the night, and it was just very cool. So, so we're going to try to do something like that with Eastlander. We're going to go really hard Friday night. And then, Saturday we have a lot of cool, classes planned where we're going to do some like wasteland training classes you can sign up for. And Sean's talking about doing a wasteland car class, like you could think about that. I've got lots of stuff to I want to teach, like how to like in the apocalypse, how to break into buildings. And so we're going to do a lot of training during the day, and then we've got even more fun stuff planned Saturday night, but we probably won't go as hard Saturday night since we're tired. We've got the Casket Creatures wasteland horror punk band going to play, and we've got the Juggers are going to play the game, and we've got like some different fun exhibition stuff. Like we've got this awesome dueling pit that's lit, and it's like a wooden, it's got like a fenced off circle, and we're going to do like some like MMA exhibition fights, and you know, whatever people want to do, it's going to be good. And then you know, we'll have the gathering too of the tribes Friday, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a really cool event.
Oh, I am so excited about it. I think that it's really a great, you know, if you look at the way Wasteland Weekend's done, a lot of this is similar, but it's its own thing. You know, like they have Thunderdome, which is amazing, but then, you know, you have the Fighting Pit, and they have Juggers, which for anyone who doesn't know, Juggers are basically, heavily armored, like you were talking about, lacrosse gloves and like a lot of like lacrosse type gear, and just, you know, beating the crap out of each other. But it's, you know, you're so heavily armored that it doesn't really, I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't hurt. I haven't done it, but it just looks like it would still hurt a little bit, but it probably isn't going to kill you. So probably, right? But it looks like a lot of fun. And I like the fact that you're really getting into this. You know, you're really like, didn't you say you made like 11 suits or something?
Yeah, yeah. Some of them I straight up fabricated. Like I took, you know, retread tires and made an entire suit of armor out of it.
Wow.
Plus, you know, I would add the baseball helmet. But some of it, you know, football pads that I repurposed. But yeah, I have 11 suits of armor I made from helmets to lacrosse gloves for everybody. I've got mouth guards attached to every helmet for everybody. I've bought weapons from professional foam smith. So everything is up for loan. We want to, you know, encourage anyone that wants to try their hand at being a jugger and play the game with the dog skull, putting it on the stake. We have the metal gong, you know, it's sheet, and we've got the stones ready to go, all counted out and colored. So we're going to play to 100 stones. And our difference from the juggers of the wasteland, we're the you know, they're like the official league guys. They're the big time. We're the dirty dog town juggers. You know, from the streets, just scrapping together to get what we can. So ours is you can, anyway, all the stuff I've made and bought, it's all for loan for anybody can try their hand at it. They play with a rattan, which is a metal core. I mean, I'm sorry, a wood core stick, and it's got a thinner padding on it, and they like it that way for, you know, it ups the danger. And, but our stuff, and they also play like, they play like 70%, you know, full on, and then they also do, they like to do some showboating with it too, which makes them for some fun, when the crowd's watching. So, but the way we play is ours are fiberglass 1 inch, by 6 foot. Band shop poles like folks would use in the band for some of their different poles they use for the flag. Mm-hmm. So it's a very good core. It's a very heavy core, but we have a lot of heavy duty padding on ours, and so it's safe to use if someone didn't have any armor on. But the way we play is there's no role playing anything. When you put someone down, you have to actually put them down to touch three limbs on the ground. So it's like a full on dogfight. You know, everything's fine. You can punch people, while someone's fighting another guy, you can kick his leg out from behind him. you know, we play to, match the, intensity the other guy's bringing to you, and, you know, look out for your friend and don't try to hurt each other, but, you know, have a good time with it. So,
yeah.
Everyone was very skeptical. We never met up before we fought. We did a huge one at our last event, and, everybody fell in love with it, and they were like, we need this in our life. So I'm actually setting it up in November 17th, I think. There's a 600-man event at Eastwind Village.
Oh.
And we got invited for the premium time slot of after all the big siege-filled battles. Between 5:30 and 7, they're going to stop what they're doing and announce, everyone come see the juggers. The juggers are coming. We're going to... We're going to fight in front. It'll probably be minimum 300 people watching us,
wow. If,
you know, a lot more. And we're going to let everybody armor up. As soon as someone gets tired, we're going to swap somebody else in. Anyone that wants to play, we're just going to get them to sign a waiver. And we're going to be coaching everybody, the rules and safety, and have a lot of good safety marshals out. So so that's a different style of the juggers from, you know, east to west. And, you know, juggers play worldwide different ways. Everyone plays different. And the Czech Republic's, you know, been very welcoming to us and helping us get our scene together, answering any questions and stuff. So they're cool, too.
That's really cool. Didn't you say there's a movie, too, that you recommend people see to learn more about it, right?
Yeah. There's it's got two different titles, depending on what part of the world it was released. It's called The Blood of Heroes and also called The Salute of the Jugger. And if you type in... either of those full movie on YouTube, you can watch the full movie. And it's one of the best post-apocalyptic films made, because like there's so many bad Mad Max knockoffs.
Yeah.
And this is not a Mad Max knockoff. It is I'm sure influenced somewhat, but it's all about the game played by the juggers. And it's really just a very good film. And I accidentally watched it, and then I had to dedicate my life to make it. Was armors for the juggers all summer and the beginning of fall. And, you know, no regrets, man. It's just been an amazing experience so far. So I'm glad that the Eastlanders can have their own jugger scene.
Yeah. That's really cool. I'm excited that it's taken off too. That it seems, I mean, I'm 41 years old, so you're not going to see me out there, but I'm actually excited to see it go on and kind of, you know, root on. Like in the Wasteland Weekend, they had, you know, the Thunderdome, like I mentioned, and I think that that got more popular than people imagined it would have, because there's so much excitement and adrenaline, and you know, people are up against each other. You know, the Farlanders themselves were, you know, who are a married couple, they were in there against each other, and it became like this famous, like a almost like a meme, you know, where the pictures of them fighting each other were just so great. And it's funny, you know, we tease them a little bit. I like to tease Bridger. You know, like I said, they're husband and wife, and she won the fight, so I tease him and I say, does that mean now she's like the chief of the Farlanders because she took down, you know, took you down?
She might not be the chief. She can be the new, more dominant one. She's a junkyard dog. She really gave it to her. That was pretty cool to hear about and see the pictures unfold there.
Yeah. I got to have them on the show sometime. Adept and Bridger Farlander. The things they do are amazing for the Eastlanders. It's, you know, there are some really key people in this whole, you know, trying to get the Eastland thing going, and they're really up there. I'm definitely thankful for them, you know, being in that position that they're in. But this was their first year at Wasteland Weekend to kind of, get some intel, you know, on how it's done. And they just came back like they were just, their minds were blown. And they're like, okay, we have to recover a little bit, and then we're going to, you know, figure this Eastland thing out. But yeah, I think that this, you know, we had this get together, this chapter one thing in August, but this thing in December, I think, is really going to be the first really big, kind of test to see where we can go from here, you know, and what we can do with getting this scene, you know, east of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. I think, you know, the things you mentioned, of course, we talked about the Juggers. That's going to be huge. The meeting of the tribes, which is kind of what we did at chapter one anyway, which is like, you know, you can have, it's not big enough yet to have these big tribes like Wasteland Weekend has, but I think that it's getting there, you know, it could get there. And so you have these little people who make their own little tribes. And then you can get together and you can exchange gifts. That's what we did at chapter one. We exchanged gifts. And I think it's a great, you know, it's just a great thing to kind of bring that camaraderie in there even more, and solidify, you know, us as Eastlanders a little bit more. But the other things you mentioned are amazing. I think the band is going to be awesome. I looked at their Facebook page and they just look scary as hell. So that's going to be fun. And then there's going to be like a kind of a role playing, when it's nighttime, we're going to do, you know, like a capture thing where it's almost going to be like a haunted house at that point, you know, where there's going to be some, I don't know, some conflicts at night where someone might get kidnapped and, you know,
yeah. Yep.
Something like that might happen.
The other one will be, we have this, there's like a whole lockpick guild at Eastwind, and they really pick locks. They taught me, I bought a kit from them. It's very cool. So they bought a big giant trunk, and we're going to have that trunk at the bad guy's base. And then we're going to have the pristine lockpick kit will be with the Eastlanders. And, so, you know, the two sides are going to square off all night trying to combine the two, but then, you don't win when you combine them. You have to actually pick the really difficult lock.
Wow.
We're going to have someone of a, you know, talent on each side, and we'll see how it goes. So it'll be really fun.
That sounds cool. I'm excited about that. And you know, that reminds me of the classes too that we're going to do, which is kind of something that Wasteland Weekend doesn't do. It's almost like bringing a little bit of a convention like Dragon Con in there.
Yeah.
And I really, really like that idea. Not just because I'm doing one of the classes, but I think it's going to be really cool just for, you know, from the standpoint of survival skills and, you know, post-apocalyptic skills. And what the one I'm going to do is about how to wasteland a car, you know, wasteland as a verb, of course, how to, you know, Mad Max a car and how to start out, you know, what to look for in a car to begin, you know, making it look post-apocalyptic, and then where to go from there, what kind of things to do to keep it street legal. You know, these are things that I've been doing for several years, and it's a huge, huge, huge interest for me. I've always been a car guy since I was little, and this is kind of a natural progression for me. Was getting into, you know, I've never liked shiny cars. I've never liked, you know, new paint and new cars. It's funny because I actually have turned newish cars with no rust. I've actually added rust to them, which is fun for me. So I hope to, you know, kind of take that and teach that to people. I think that could be kind of fun. Anyone who's interested in that. So if you are, you know, if you're listening to this and you think that this is something that you might want to do, and if you're on the East Coast, or even if you're on the West Coast and you want to come out here, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, from the things that we've described, everything from the LARP aspect to the classes to the, you know, the role-playing aspect, and it's just going to be all these things, even the band and the juggers, I think it's going to be an amazing weekend. And it's one of those things that I think people will be talking about. You know, people, even the hardcore, you know, the big shots, and I mean that in a good way, I don't mean that in a bad way, the big shots at Wasteland Weekend, maybe will kind of take a look at this and say, wow, you know, these Wasteland guys know what they're doing.
It's fun. We're not replicating exactly, you know, it's a very cool independent event for the Eastlanders. Hopefully, you know, it'll be a fun little thing we get going, and we can have a nice, awesome annual event and then some cool supplemental events inside the middle of the year, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's crazy, actually, how many of these events are popping up. You know, for this year, 2017, there's one in Arkansas that was just announced.
Yeah, Atomic Falls USA by Shannon Combs and her tribe. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be cool. I mean, I'm excited for that. And there's actually one near me. Well, it's not an event, but there's a guy who wants to start. He has 19 acres and he wants to start getting something going. And he only lives like an hour from me. So I'm probably going to, I've been talking to him a lot, and we're going to try to get some things built, some permanent structures on his land and really kind of turn it into potentially a location other than Eastwind Castle, or, you know, because that's, you know, that's one of the hardest.
Yeah, it's much more central for everybody than having all the way to the South Carolina coast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because you know, this guy is in Alabama, and it's, yeah, like you said, it's a little more central. But I think that having a good venue is so key to this. You know, that's been one of the great things about Wasteland Weekend is they rent that land. I don't know how many acres it is, but it's just a giant open field, or, you know, I say field, but it's a desert. And that's something where we're hoping we can do here, which would be, like you said, it's a whole different experience, not only in the activities, but also in the landscape. You know, when the world ends, it's not just going to all be one big desert. There's also going to be, you know, I mean, I have weeds in my yard that I know will outlast the wasteland. So, so they're going to be here, you know, it's going to be just a different climate, a different environment. And I think that's could be a lot of fun for, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah, it will be. Yeah, that will be cool to have the different styles.
Yeah. So yeah, like I was saying, if it's something that you would be interested in, I'll have information in the show notes, and not only for the Facebook page, or you can, you know, if you have Facebook, you can go on there, but also just other links to even Eastwind Castle, where it's at, location, time, and all that stuff. I'll have it all in the show notes. Going back to Nuclana and those events, which, I mean, we got a little carried away with this Eastlander thing, but the Nuclana itself is also growing in popularity because of some of the things that you're doing that are unique. Can you describe some of those?
Yeah. Now, in the American LARP scene, they use like paper to represent the things that their character has, like extra swords or, you know, different traps. And if their character's stuff gets like destroyed by like a slime monster, like their armor or something, they'll be like, oh, hold on, let me look through my cards here, and I've got new armor now. So everything's like, you know, just represented on paper. So in New Planet, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And I've like worked super hard, and my friends have worked super hard making tons of awesome items for everybody. So we have like, I don't know, like 12 different unique items, and we have tons of them. So everybody can, you know, get what they need from the merchant. And so how it works is like if you want to get a stim pack, we have, or a Med-X or Radaway, we've got these drip sets that you would, you know, use for like an IV bag, and we've got screw locks on them. So you screw in the syringe and it makes a lock, and then you can draw whatever fluids out. And they all kind of look like the Rad-X bag, where they've got Rad-X written on it and Sharpie and then underlined. So they all look like that, and they're all the different colors to be, you know, Fallout-like. And then so you draw from the syringe, and then you get that Kim's ability that you can give people. So so that's pretty cool, because like I've never played other LARPs really, and so I was just making that because I thought that made sense to me. And people that have came for that are hardcore, you know, LARPers that play other games, they're like, this is really neat. You have the actual item, and it's just cool with the locking and stuff. And people can put them in their little Nerf dart bandoliers, and they hang. And one of the other cool things is I make hundreds of tripwire traps. So it's just hemp cord with the little party popper fireworks. So you just pull the cord on either side or both sides, and it will pop, and it'll make a really loud noise. So I make hundreds of these in little Ziploc snack bags. So it ends up being like IEDs all over the wasteland. Some people don't even shoot a gun. Their fun is just rigging traps for everybody, and they rig them in hilarious ways. And so like. They'll rig doors. One time the Legion slept in Saturday morning. They didn't get up till 11. So a couple people rigged the entire Legion camp with tripwire traps. They rigged their shoes with a trap, and they rigged their gloves with a trap. They rigged the outside of their tents, and just like they tied trap wires to all their stuff. So, and they kept popping, and they were just like cussing and getting so mad. So it's just like, you know, that's really fun for a lot of people, to be able to do that. They can't do that. You know, you don't really get that experience in the game in real life. So it's fun to be able to do that. And that's fun for airsoft or paintball or whatever, but we all get to do that there, and the kids get to goof off and do that. And, so we also have 23 safes. You know, like in the Fallout world, you'd go find safes. So they have different amounts of locks on them. So you can buy from the merchant shop at Bartertown. You can buy a screwdriver, and I've got all these screwdrivers that take bits, and we take all the bits out so they're more dull, so you don't, you know, poke yourself or poke anybody. So I've got like 60 or 70 of them that I bought, and so you use those, and then we have hundreds and hundreds of bobby pins with rubber bands attached to them. So you go role play opening each lock with the screwdriver and bobby pin, and then you can unlock it, and then you can take one item out for each of the locks on there. So if you spend a long time unlocking it, you can get four items out if there's four locks, and then you throw your bobby pin in there because you broke it. And you know, we've got all kinds of cool stuff. You can get like caps and ammo, and so a lot of folks just really enjoy searching for all the boxes, and then we have irradiated boxes. We have like a radiation suit that there's only one, and when you die, you got to drop it. So people that are like humans like to go get that radiation suit. So because some of the boxes are inside of a taped off caution zone, which is irradiated, that if you're not a ghoul, you can't go in there. And then some of the boxes are rigged with radiation traps. So then, and some people also like to rig the traps with tripwire traps in some of the boxes. So it's just, you never know what's going to happen. It's just hilarious. So people always come back and tell me how they died. And it just, you know, it's just funny to hear the post-event stories or at the campfire at night, everyone talking. And then if it's nice weather outside, like in May, we use water balloons for our grenades. And those are just hilarious. You know, people have a good time with those too. And then we use, for buff out, we have the Chewy Sprees. And I love to play the drug dealer raider, you know, giving out a couple free ones to everybody. Uh-huh. And, you know, we have addiction and stuff. And it's pretty funny. So we have the Deathclaw, and then we've got the robot. It's reprogrammable. So whoever finds it and activates it, it's just someone playing the role of a robot. And it's, we've got some cool armor and masks for it. So they'll roleplay like a robot. And then we've got an Ethernet box on at the back. So you just unplug the Ethernet and move it to a different side, and then you reprogram the robot. Every time it goes down, you can reprogram him, or he'll just come back to serving who he was. And so that's always funny because it changes hands so many times. And the players always enjoy that. And then also when you're down, when someone like wounds you, you bleed out for 60 seconds, and someone can loot you. So it's always funny, like, people just getting ganked while they're trying to get something done, and then someone is just stealing from them. But you can steal, like, one item. It's not really a big deal. At our town, we have, like, let's see. Usually we'll have one or two raider groups. You can steal from them or buy from them. And then we have the followers of the Apocalypse Doctor. And so she's got her own clinic, so you can buy or steal from her, and then from the Bartertown Merchant. So it's kind of like in the game of like Skyrim and Fallout. If you see anything on the counter, you can just grab it.
Nice. So
people have a really good time just stealing from us. And you know, if we watch them, or if we see them steal from us and they run off, we have everyone's Facebook profile picture printed out. So we nail it to the front of the merchant, and we'll put a bounty on him, and the bounty hunters will come grab him. And what you do is you just shoot someone and you bleed him out, and then you put handcuffs on him. We have like hundreds of rope handcuffs, and then you put a stim back on him, so they come back to, you know, they're being just they're alive, they're just wounded. So then you bring them on back, and we'll buy them from them. We'll put them, we've got like a stockade and different stuff, or we'll go sell them to the raiders. And you can sell normal wasteland settlers to the raiders, like the Legion. They'll buy them too if you want to be a bad guy. So all the kidnapping and selling of people is always really funny. And when you die, you're supposed to go be an alternate persona, and you'll go work for the raiders as like you were just a raider. So you know, you try to change your costume some, and you put on a red bandana, and you'll go be a raider. So you can kind of go at your bad then, and they'll give you some items, and it's always fun to just go kill the raiders. But all the items are kind of what's kind of fun, you know, because you can normally, you know, just go fight and stuff in other games, but all the items, you know, we spend a lot of time making them and stuff, and people enjoy that. So we do, we have like, I think right now we've got like 24 Nuka-Colas. We had a lot more. Every event, people like to take our custom caps and our custom Nuka-Cola props and different props, because all our stuff's really cool, and they like to just add it to their collection, which I guess is fine because they pay to be there, but it sucks having to make more inventory every game. But at the Eastlanders event, I hope to have several dozen Nuka-Colas made. So we can have a sweet Nuka-Cola bar up there. People can just buy Nuka-Cola and crack them open.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So we're going to bring all of our items to the Eastlander event. And if you go bring caps, bottle caps, you can buy it. Just return everything at the end of the event. But we'll have all our tripwire traps out and all our handcuffs. You can capture the cannibals and bring them back to town. And, you know, we'll interrogate them and all that good stuff. So it should be a good time.
Nice. Now, can you? You said that everybody starts out with caps. Can they bring their own caps, or is it just your own?
Yeah, it's our own caps. We have them all with a special marking at the Fallout LARP. Eastlander event, you can bring whatever you want. You can bring as much Nerf ammo as you want. And my apologies, we can't do airsoft at that venue. But so you can bring as much Nerf ammo. You can bring as many weapons. We don't really want the big puffy weapons we normally use at the Fallout LARP. We'd like everyone to get their replica weapons.
Yeah.
Which you can buy on a lot of websites. So I'm going to make like 20 daggers that look like, you know, realistic. So I'll be selling those at the store. You can loan them from me, you know, just buy them in game with bottle caps you bring, or you can barter whatever you want. Or I'll sell them to you for really cheap, just whatever it costs me to make it, probably just like $5. Or you can just, you can give me a barter, you know, there's going to be tons of bartering there for like, you know, bring all your items you have for crafting, all your badges and cool gizmos or different jackets and stuff you make. And I'm sure I'll be trading for a lot of stuff. That'll be fun too. So,
yeah, that's another part I'm looking forward to is all the bartering. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that will be fun. And, you know, I have a lot of the local people that come to my fault LARP. They're not as hardcore about the costume, which I always encourage. So I'm going to have a fun distressing station set up for anyone. They're going to get some black paint, some dirt, and some shredding going on.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. We got to have the high standards. We're setting the bar high for this one.
No. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, so is there a website that someone can go to, or should it just be the Facebook page?
Yeah, you can go to newplanet.com. The site was made by Nerdette Designs. She's a big-time professional and a big-time Fallout fan. She's one of our most, she's kind of like one of the Farlanders. She's just a great person to get on the scene that really just multiplies everything. But so newplanet.com, or you can go to facebook.com/newplanet. It's got all our links in the pin post.
Cool, cool. Yeah, I'll put the some links to that in the show notes. And so if someone wants to get involved, they can just go on there and they can contact you and through the website or through Facebook and just go from there. I mean, I'm excited. I hope this really grows a lot because, you know, I know that you put a lot of time and energy and thought and creativity into this, and all of the other people that you said, you know, you brought with you from the other game and, you know, your friends, and it's amazing to me that there are so many people involved and it works well. And I really see this going, you know, going bigger, very soon. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. We've had, we had like 120 players our first time, and then a lot of those players didn't return, but we had just as many. So we had like 40 new players sign in. Hopefully we'll continue getting new players and different players, and we'll have one big game where everyone comes at once or something, and we can just keep it going. It'll be awesome. So thanks for the warm wishes of growth and everything.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's go ahead and we'll cut this one short. And again, if you want to find out more information, check out the show notes or go to newclanta.com. We'll have some information. And then after this event, I know that we're going to record again, Jonathan and I, and maybe I'll try to get the Farlanders on here, and we'll talk about after the December 2nd event. Maybe after the holidays, we'll get on here and we'll talk about how it went and let everyone, you know how that went. But that's about it from us for this show today. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at ttaftermath@gmail.com. You can also check us out on, we have a Facebook page, which is kind of our most, you know, that's where we interact the most with our listeners and everything. We have Instagram that I use, which is postapocvehicles. It's just instagram.com/postapocvehicles. And that's, it's more, you know, as it sounds, it's more about the cars and trucks themselves than anything else. That's, you know, what I kind of pay attention to the most. So that's there. And then, like I said, you know, email us. And, if you want something right on the air, let us know and we could do that. But that's about it from us. So from all of us here at Through the Aftermath, I'm Sean, and that's Steve saying,
stay alive out there.